Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The word reign there literally means, and the Amplified, among other translations, translates it, shall reign as a king in life. How are you and I going to reign as a king in life? Number one, we're going to receive abundance of grace. Oh, that's what it took. But we've received it, those of us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Abundance of grace. Grace, grace. Grace that was greater than all our sin. We're going to receive abundance. Well, we have received abundance of grace. And of the gift of righteousness, the gift of right standing with God. The gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. It says that those people that receive that, they're going to reign as kings in life much more than a spiritual death reign as far as dominating people and causing them to be destroyed and defeated and discouraged and downtrodden. Much more they which receive it. You got to receive it. Hallelujah. But it's not hard to receive. Just look up or just look to the Lord and say, Lord, I receive your grace. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that you're my Lord. And I believe that you were raised from the dead. You paid the price that I might go free and receive your blessing. Thank you. Hallelujah. Shall reign. Notice what it says. Shall reign. That is, reign as a king. Reign as a king in life. When does life begin? There's a joke, you know. There's a book called Life After Death. No, Life After Life. Some people are wondering if there's life after birth. Well, that's because they never got a hold of the good news. They never found out that they can have freedom and joy and peace and prosperity and soundness and wholeness and satisfaction here in this life. You say, well, can we have that? Well, if we can't, then God's redemptive program was a flop. Jesus Christ was a failure. If He did not redeem us and pay the price so that we could receive back at least as much as God intended for man to have in the beginning before the fall, if that was not purchased for us at Calvary, then the redemptive program of God carried out in Christ Jesus was a flop. And you know better than to believe that. Of course we can. Life doesn't begin after you die. That is, in the sense of leaving your body, life begins when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the life of God, that is eternal life, is imparted unto your spirit, unto your inner man, on the inside of you, and you become a new creation. Hallelujah. Well, we've been studying about material, financial prosperity. Why? Well, because the Lord's directed us to. Because you and I need this. Because we receive from God by faith all the blessings of God, all the help that God has, all the power that He has, all the wisdom that He has is only available to you and I as we will receive it by faith. How does faith operate? Well, faith believes that it receives when it prays. Faith believes that those things that are not yet revealed to the five physical senses are true because God said them. And if God said it, then we can believe it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks. We put our trust in the Word of the eternal God who cannot lie and who can never fail and who has never failed and who has never lied. We found out some things. We found out that prosperity, of course, we realize and understand that Bible prosperity is not limited to money. Just because you have a bunch of money doesn't mean you're a prosperous individual, because money won't buy everything. A lot of things it won't buy. Anyway, we're talking about finances, though, because we need to have our faith built for finances. Why? Because to operate in the earth, we have to have money. And if we're going to get the gospel out to every creature, That's where they are in the earth, and so we're going to have to get hold of the money to get the job done. Hallelujah. And so we're going to have to do it by faith. We're not going to go out and rob a bank to preach the gospel. That's the wrong approach. So how are you going to do it? Not the world's way, but God's way. Oh, thank God He has a way. He has a plan for your prosperity. And we're not in our sessions talking about how to do it so much. It's just telling you that it is possible and that it is God's will. Because the first step for prosperity is you got to know it's God's will. You weren't ever born again. You didn't ever receive Jesus until you knew that it was God's will that you could receive. And that's the way it is with finances, with material prosperity. You'll never rise. You'll never get anywhere in your finances on faith, on God's blessings, until you know that it is God's will. And as long as you're wavering and wondering, and one day you think, well, maybe it is, and the next day because you listen to some buddy over here and says, well, I don't know about that, and the Bible says this, and what about that, and you think, well, maybe it's not God's will, you know. You got to get established in this for it to work for you. It works like a seed. The Word of God is a seed, according to Luke 8:11. It's got to be planted. It's got to be protected and nourished. It'll grow up then and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. And the fruit that it brings forth will be good fruit. You'll be pleased. It'll be a joy. It'll be a privilege in your life when the Word of God brings forth fruit. Well, we found out that prosperity can't be evil. It's only what you do with it that would determine whether it's good or bad. We found out that God is the author, the originator, the creator of all the world's wealth. He didn't create it for the devil to use to destroy people. He created it to be a blessing to mankind. God had no need Himself. God is not broke. God is not about to run out of wealth. He didn't need it for Himself. He didn't create all the gold and the silver and the diamonds and the rubies and the sapphires and the emeralds and the platinum and the oil. He didn't create all of that for His use. He created it for the use of mankind, for man's enjoyment, for man's pleasure, for man's use and profit. Didn't He? He didn't create it for the devil to use. He created it for His man to use. And there's something about God is He never admits defeat. Never. He never quits. He never gives up. If He planned on something being a certain way, well, He'll just take a few thousand years. He has enough patience to just see that it gets around back to that way. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Glory to God. We found out that He's the one, according to Isaiah 48:17, that teaches us to prosper. How could it be evil if He's teaching us how to do it? Glory to God. Now, we found out also that Psalm 24:1, among other verses, says, "The earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof." That means all the wealth of this world. You hear me? I said all the wealth of this world is the Lord's. According to that. Now, when we get into the New Testament, we find out in a further revelation, we find out in the New Testament that according to Romans 8:17, that if children of God, then we're heirs of God. If we're an heir of God, it says then we're a joint or equal heir with Christ Jesus. And we found out that Jesus hath already obtained an inheritance according to Hebrews 1:4 and 1:2. According to Hebrews 1:2, that God has given Him all things. Hallelujah. We found out in Ephesians 1:11, I believe it is, that in whom? In Christ we have obtained an inheritance. We found out that it's the word of grace, according to Acts 20:32. Paul says, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able..." Doesn't say it will just automatically, but it's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus. You see, the word of God's grace will not work in your life. It will not do you any good unless you'll receive it into your life, believe it, act on it. until you really believe that God loves you and God is interested in you and He will meet your needs. Not only that, but He'll do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think until you begin to believe that God is really on your side and you're not just trying and hoping and wondering and waiting and seeing, but you know that 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 God will never forsake you. That it doesn't matter what the Democrats or the Republicans or the Communists do, and I'm not lumping them all in one group, don't misunderstand me, but it doesn't matter what anybody does. As long as you know you've got your hand in the hand of God, you're standing on His Word, and you know that you know that you know. You say, how can I know? Oh, I'd like to know. But seems like you preachers just have stronger faith than I ever could. I started out the same place you did, probably lower down in faith. But what you've got to do is continue in the Word. You've got to feed on these things. Continue in My Word, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth. How are you going to know? By continuing in the Word. Well, we found out, turn to Colossians chapter 1. We found out that the wealth of this world belonged to God and Jesus became the heir of it and we were joint heirs with Him. We have been made, not we're going to be, but when we receive Christ and we're born again, we were made new creations, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We were made joint or equal heirs with Christ. Just like a joint bank account, even though one person may make all the money and put it into that account, if it's a joint account, both people that have their signature on file can draw funds off of that account. That's exactly the way it is with us as Christians, even though Jesus paid the total price, even though He's the one that deposited into the account, we are joint heirs with Him and we can draw off of that account just as freely as we can, as He can. We can just as freely as He can. You understand that? Good. Colossians chapter 1. I guess you're there and I'm not. It won't take me but a second. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Let's just read this. Giving thanks unto the Father. Oh, when you get the revelation of the truth, you're going to spend a lot of your time thanking God. When you realize how wonderful He is and all He's already done and how much He really does love you, you're going to spend a lot of time just saying, oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. You're not going to have to work it up. Oh, don't worry about it. Oh, I just can't be that emotional. Listen, brother and sister, you find out what God has already accomplished for you and you're going to get happy. If you're not happy, you just haven't found it out too much yet. It says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath already made us meet. That means able, capable, to be partakers of the inheritance. What is our inheritance? It's everything. It's the world, according to Romans 4:13. It's the earth and the fullness thereof. It's all things according to Hebrews 1:2 as joint equal heirs with Jesus. It's been given unto our hand. Glory to God. You say, well, why don't I have it? You have it. You just never received it by faith. You just never claimed it and stood for it. And so the thief, Satan, the evil one, has been stealing it away from you. He's been stealing from you. He stole from me in the past, but I'm about tired of it. I'm about tired of it. I am tired of it. This says, He has made us able to be partakers of our inheritance. Verse 13, who hath, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness. Well, that's talking about Satan's authority, isn't it? Did you know that you were already delivered from the authority of Satan? Did you know that in Christ that the devil has no power over you? The only power he has over you is what you will allow him to have? That's the only right he has to do anything to you ever. Ever. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you was a boat type of person wanting to get out of Vietnam, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody that was interested in escaping out of that country, I wouldn't blame them. I would too. But if somebody came along with a helicopter and came in there and got you out and brought you over to the United States of America, that'd be like being translated or transferred out of the kingdom or the country or the dominion there of South Vietnam over unto the dominion or the country. It's the same kind of a thing here as a kingdom, you know. It's talking about a dominion, a government of the United States. Well, I'm sure they'd be happy. Well, how much happier we should be that have been, not going to be when we die and go to heaven, but have already been delivered from the power that is the authority of darkness, that Satan's authority, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Son of His love. Literally, that's what it says, the Son of His love. Well, I have news for you. Just as God the Father loved Jesus, Jesus said a most amazing thing in John 17:23. He said, Father, let them know that you love them just as much as you love me. Oh, glory to God. We're in the kingdom of the Son of God's dear love. Oh, He loves Jesus so much and He loves you no less. Oh, praise God. Is He going to let you starve to death under His dominion? Is He going to let you be put to shame? No. Four times in the Bible it says that he that believeth in Him will not be put to shame. Glory to God. Quit worrying, quit wondering, quit fretting, quit stewing, quit being anxious and fearful and worried, thinking, oh, am I going to be put to shame? And, you know, am I going to be ashamed and going to fail? And I'm going to have to go to the poor farm, or the poor farm's coming my direction, and I'm going down the drain. No, you're not going to be put to shame if you stand on the Word of God in the name of Jesus and just refuse to be defeated. You say, well, what if God wants me to be defeated? Listen, friend, do you think God's an idiot? Do you think He would invest all that He owned, all that He was, all that He had in redeeming you and buying you back just so you could be defeated by the devil? In the circumstances of life, He's not that stupid. He loved you enough, and that love is still active. His love will never pass away. His mercy, that means His loving kindness, endures forever. Forever ain't over yet. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. That means freedom. Through His blood, even the forgiveness or remission of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is the head of the body, which is the church. What is the church? That's all those that have received Jesus as their Lord. How many of you have received Jesus as your Lord and you're in the church? Raise your hand. Okay, well then this says that you are the body of Christ and He's the head of the body. That means He's in the same body as we are. You understand that? That's what it says. I didn't make this up, you know. That's what it says. And it says all things were created by Him and for Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. I have news for you. Whatever is in this earth came from this earth, basically, except maybe a few moon rocks and a few meteors that have wandered in here. But other than that, everything that's in this earth, from jet airplanes to jewels, to Rolls-Royce automobiles, I don't care what it is, anything that's in this earth came from this earth's resources, which were created by God and which He claimed ownership of. And this says that all things were created by Jesus and for the devil. No. They were created for Him. And we're joint heirs with Him. Maybe we should have looked at that scripture, but you look at it later, Romans 8:17. You're an equal heir with Jesus. When? When you die? No. You become an equal heir with Jesus when you're born again into the family of God. That's part of the abundance of grace. Hallelujah. And when you realize that you've received the gift of right standing with God, that it's not something you have to work at, then you can begin to reign as a king in life. Reign as a king. Oh, reign as a king. That means reign in your life. Don't let the circumstances dictate to you. You dictate to the circumstances. You say, is that possible? All things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 9:23. With God, all things are possible. And you're with God in Christ. He's on your side. You understand that? Now, jet airplanes were made by and for Jesus. You say, I didn't know Jesus made any jet airplanes. I thought it was so and so and so and so. Where do you think they got the raw material for that jet airplane? Where do you think they got the brain, the knowledge, the understanding, the skill to be able to manufacture it? Where do you think that the laws that govern the operation and the flight of that airplane came from? The laws of aerodynamics and thrust and lift. Where did those come from? Man didn't dream them up. Man only discovered them. Do you realize that man has never invented anything? Man has only discovered some of what God knew all along. Man didn't invent the airplane. All man did was discover the laws of God that were there all along and then begin to line up with it and take advantage of it. You see, all the material, all the knowledge, all the brain power, all the everything was created by Jesus. So it was created, conceived, planned by Him and for Him. Not to kill people with bombs. The reason He wanted us to have jet airplanes is so we could load them up with tracks and with the whole church, and we could all go over to Africa just like that, and we could just go out there and just make a big impact right now. Some weekend, the Lord impressed us, we could just jump in our jet, all of us, about 100 of us, load up about several tons worth of gospel literature and just take off for Mexico or Central America or South America. Go down and encourage some missionary. Television stations and cable TV and satellites and all of this technology, computers, they were not made just so some big banker or some big businessman somewhere can cheat a bunch of people out of some money. They weren't just made just to keep track on you. They were made to be able to speed up the preaching of the gospel and getting to mankind the blessing that Jesus Christ paid for. You've got to understand Jesus' position. He paid a high price. Put yourself in His shoes. Just think, if you'd paid the price that Jesus did, you'd be interested in doing anything, providing anything and everything that would help or assist or speed up the process of getting the knowledge of that to everybody so they could receive the benefit. Do you understand that, or I talk too fast? In other words, if Jesus really did love mankind enough to die and He's able to do anything else, don't you think He'd do it to see that mankind found out about it and that mankind could receive it and be set free? That's why television was created. It was made by and for Jesus. Man just discovered the fact that it was around, the laws, and so they began to line up with those laws and take advantage of them. But man didn't create it. Man didn't create it so that radio waves could go through the air and beam off of a satellite and we could have TV. Man didn't dream that up. Man just found out about it. Well, it's God's will for us to prosper and to be in health, even as our soul prospers. Why? Number one, because He just loves you that much. If you had a child and you could have them satisfied and enjoy life and blessed in every way, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Just as an earthly parent, you have that much love. Well, Jesus, when He was here on the earth, revealing the Father to us, He said, how much more the Heavenly Father will give good things even more than any earthly parent. How much more the love of God is than the natural human love of even the most devoted, even the most kind, even the most loving earthly parent. And God is not short of ability. God is not short of power. God is not short of resources. Hallelujah. Turn back to the book of Proverbs. As you're turning there, I'll remind you this fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. I know that's kind of funny wording, but anyway, what he's saying is you're in Christ Jesus, and it's of God, and Jesus has been made unto us. Who's the us? Those of us who've received him as our Lord and Savior. He's been made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom. Don't say, "Oh, I don't have any wisdom." That'd be just as stupid as saying, "I don't have an ear," if you've got one. Now, if you didn't have an ear, that'd be different. And before you grew up and knew any better, you might not have known that you had an ear. But when you was 2 or 3 years old, your family probably began to teach you ear, eye, nose. And you begin to find out, "Hey, I've got an ear." Well, that's where a lot of us are as Christians. We didn't know that we had any wisdom. But praise God, we're finding it out. We're looking to Jesus and we're seeing wisdom. My wisdom. He's my wisdom. He's made unto me wisdom. The Lord instructed me like this. He said, "Just as I made clay hands unto Adam, I made Jesus wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption unto you." Look at your hands. Look at them. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Are those your hands? Are they God's hands? Now don't try to get spiritual on me. You don't think, "Well, now I better ask God before I can scratch my ear." Because, I wouldn't want to use His hand without asking His permission. You just use it. Why? Because God gave it to you. And you just use it just like it's your own. But did you create it? Did you earn it? Did you work for it? Did you ask for it? How did you get it? You just made that way, weren't you? Huh? You was made that way. Well, Jesus has been made unto you wisdom. In other words, in the new creation, when you're born again, you are born with Jesus' wisdom. It's the standard equipment. You come with it. It's not an option. It's not an option. Glory to God. Didn't cost any extra. Wisdom. Now, Jesus is your wisdom if you're a Christian. You may not have known it. You may not have used it. You may not have got any benefit out of it before, because you only receive any benefit out of anything that God has as you receive it by faith. You understand that? God's a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know why He's pleased by faith? Because He loves to give. And whenever you operate in faith, He can just pour it on you. That's why He's pleased with faith. See, He's not selfish. You got to learn that. Hallelujah. And He is a rewarder. Let me tell you, He is a rewarder. He is not a thief. He's not a robber. He's not a destroyer. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. Now, you may think, "I've served God. I've been faithful for 32 years and He hasn't rewarded me." The thief, Satan, has been stealing from you because you had a lack of knowledge of the truth. You weren't standing in faith for what belonged to you. And that's why you've missed out on God's best. But it's not too late. As long as you're breathing, you still got time. You can tap in to the blessings of God by faith in Christ Jesus, because Jesus took what we deserve. By faith, we can receive what He deserved. And thank God for it. Oh, thank you, Father, that You've made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Thank you, Father, that You've delivered us out of the authority of Satan. Thank you that he can't lord it over us anymore. Thank you, Father, that we're now under the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the good master. Oh, hallelujah. Now, in Proverbs, listen to this. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." Thank God He doesn't sell it. We'd never be able to buy it. Out of his mouth cometh. What comes out of somebody's mouth? Words. I'll help you out. We don't have much time. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In other words, if you get the words that came out of his mouth, you're going to get where the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom is. Jesus in Luke 11:49, don't turn to it, referring to the written word of God, said, "Thus saith the wisdom of God." Jesus equated the written word of God with the wisdom of God. You understand that? Jesus. Verse 7, he layeth up, or he stores up sound wisdom for the righteous. He has stored it up for us. And where is it at? It's in Christ. And that life is in us. And it's in the Word. We can go to this written Word and find out what we are in Christ Jesus. We can find out what standard equipment we came with in the spirit realm when we was born again and received Jesus as our Lord. Do you understand that? We can find it out from the pages of this book. If it says here that Jesus is our wisdom, then we can just rejoice in it and go through life saying, "Praise God, Jesus is my wisdom. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about making the right choice. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is guiding me." You say, "Oh, I don't know if I could believe that or not." Well, you can if you'll continue in the Word. And that's the way you're to live the life of faith. The just shall live by faith. That's the way you're supposed to live. And if you live that way, it's wonderful. It's glorious. It's free and easy. And it's just a real good time. Hallelujah. In other words, you can have a little bit of heaven down here before you get to heaven. Now, chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Chapter 3. That is of Proverbs. Okay, listen to this. Verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. It's more valuable. It's more precious. There's more of a market for it than there is gold and silver. You get the wisdom of God and it will promote you. It will run you to the top of the ladder, the wisdom of God. Well, what is the wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge rightly. Wisdom is knowing what to do, the right place, the right time, and the right way. And you do that and you're going to do all right. Right? You always do the right thing in the right way in the right time in the right place, and you won't have any problems. They'll be taken care of. Verse 14, 15, she that is wisdom is more precious than rubies. If you ever tried to buy any of them lately, you know they're expensive. And all the things thou canst desire, not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Did you hear that? In the left hand of wisdom is riches, 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 riches. In the left hand of wisdom. Now, if I came into your house, whatever I had in my hands would come in with me, wouldn't it? You understand that? If I came into your house and I had my watch in one hand and my Bible in one hand, when I got in your house, then my watch and my Bible would be there with me. Why? Because they're in my hands, and my hands are connected to my body. And wherever I go, my body goes until I get rid of it and ship out to be with Jesus. So, wherever wisdom goes, in her right hand, length of days, long life. Aren't you glad you don't have to die young before your time? You don't have to let the devil steal you out of your life before you finish your course, run the race that's set before you, and accomplish everything that God and you would like for you to accomplish? Aren't you glad? Length of days. And in her left hand, glory to God, riches and honor. You get the wisdom in your house, you get the riches and honor. Unless you meet her at the door and say, "Oh, no, 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 no. Get out, get out, get out. I won't receive that." Oh, no. But if you just say, "Come on in here, wisdom. Glory to God. I'll receive you and I'll use you to God's glory." Well, where are we going to get wisdom? Well, it's laid up for us in the written Word of God, but it's in our spirit because the life of Christ has been imparted unto our spirit, and Jesus has made unto us wisdom. So, in her left hand, riches and honor. Chapter 4, Proverbs, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. You desirest to do something to affect the world. You desire to be a blessing. You desire to rise up from your present level to higher level. Embrace wisdom. Embrace the Word of God. Come to meetings like this, even though it'd be easier to sit home and watch TV, where you can hear the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you have to drive across town, across the state, or across the world. It doesn't matter. If you will grab hold of wisdom, it's more precious than gold, silver, rubies, anything that you could get anywhere else. You know why? Because it'll get you all of anything else you could ever need, hope for, or desire. And you'll have the wisdom too, so you won't get killed off with ulcers and cancers and worry and wonder and all that. You can just have the whole thing. God is not skimpy. God is not the living God who giveth us skimpily all things to barely get along. 1 Timothy 6:17, thank God, says He's the living God that giveth us richly. All things to enjoy. He gives us all things to enjoy. And you say, well, you're so selfish. All this is selfishness. I'm about ready to get up and walk out. No. The biggest enjoyment you can get is giving it away, causing it to be a blessing to somebody else. Hallelujah. And that's the way you'll get it in God's system. But that's not what we're talking about right now. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I just thought of this a while ago, and I wanted you to be able to see it and read it from your own Bible. And listen to this. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. Deuteronomy 11, 18. This is God's Word. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. What's he talking about? Get my Word. That's where the wisdom is. That's where the knowledge is. You get the knowledge, you won't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's where the understanding is. Get it. Lay it up. Store it up. Get it on the inside of you. Don't wait until the storms of life and problems come for you to build your faith in finances or healing or anything else. Get that Word of God stored up ahead of time. Get out there and dig in the Word of God. Build your house on the rock. Get that foundation deep. Then when the problems come, you'll be ready. Lay it up. Store it up. Get it in there. Feed it in there. You can't get an oversupply. You can't get too much. Of what? The Word. Lay these words up in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand that they may be as frontless between your eyes. You're just like it's always out in front of your eyes. You're just always seeing the Word. Seeing yourself like the Word says you are. You're always just thinking like the Word says. Verse 19, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates that your days... Why? Why should you do this? Why? Why bother? Why bother? Why not just sit down, get you a can of Coors, and sit in front of the TV and watch the ball game? Just let life go on, you know. You can't do much anymore. Why bother? Why bother? Why spend your time doing it? Why spend all your time in the Word? Why? Because there's a reward. Here it is, verse 21. That your days may be multiplied. See, it's not just appointed unto you so many days and then you've got to die. God hasn't got a big calendar in the sky with your date marked out and when the time comes, well, that's it. Your days can be increased. Your days can be multiplied if you get the Word of God. Find out the truth. Find out you've been delivered out of the authority of darkness. That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Don't you tell me that we can't have it like heaven here on the earth. He said if we'd store up His words, if we would teach them to our children, teach them to ourselves, and just lay them up in abundance, we could have days here on the earth like it'd be in heaven. Is that what your Bible says? So that you can have as the days of heaven upon the earth. I really like that. Do you like that? How do you think it is in heaven? How do you think it is? How do you think it is? Are they broke? Are they, you know, have bread lines, soup lines on welfare? No. They got streets of gold. They got abundance. The foundations, hundreds of miles, just made out of precious gems. Gates made out of pearl. They're not lacking. They're not lacking. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. One of the things He said is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and shut that door. As the days of heaven upon the earth. Aren't you glad that it says that in there? Hallelujah. So what have we found out? We found out that Jesus has been made unto us wisdom that came with it, the new birth, and all we need to do is recognize it and begin to receive it by faith, walk in it by faith, and what is that wisdom going to do for us? It's going to promote us. It's going to exalt us, you say, but I didn't think God wanted us to be exalted. Why do you think He went to all the trouble of redeeming you for? If He didn't want you to be lifted up, which is what exalted means, excuse me, He could have just said, forget it. I'm not going to go down there and dirty my hands with mankind and his troubles. The Bible says that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He may exalt us. It's God's heart desire to exalt you. It's God's heart desire that you just be glorified. You say, well, I thought being glorified was just for God. It is just for Him and His family. But you're part of the family. And the Bible says if we let our light shine and people see our good works, they'd glorify our Father in heaven. They'd want to have Him as their Father. They'd say, they'd come to us like it talks about in one place in the Old Testament, coming, taking hold of the skirt of a Jew and saying, you know, teach us, we want the same God you've got. Hallelujah. Why? Because they can see, well, this God is a good God. This God is a God like I'd like to serve. I'd like to put myself in some kind of kingdom like that. It's just exactly the same reason, only much greater, that people that would escape out of South Vietnam or some other country, where they want to go if they can. Well, the United States of America, of course, because we're blessed. We have many blessings here. Well, the blessings we have here just in the United States are nothing compared to the blessings in the kingdom of God's dear Son. You say, well, is that heaven? No, that is wherever you are if you're under His authority. That's where the kingdom of God is. Yes, it includes heaven, but it includes wherever you're at too. If He's your king, then you're part of the kingdom. Not when you die. You don't gain Jesus as your Lord when you die. You better receive Him before then or it'll be too late. Colossians 1:27, I'm going to read it to you. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the way to get to heaven. Right? Wrong. Well, right and wrong. Yes, Christ is the way to get to heaven. But it doesn't say what we thought. Well, that's Christ in you, the hope of getting to heaven. It says the hope of glory. Glory. Hallelujah. You see, God would just like to exalt you and promote you and lift you up and just make you the head and not the tail. And like it said in Malachi, it says that you'll be blessed. All nations, it says all nations shall call you blessed. Well, I'll tell you, if you're blessed enough to get the attention of other nations, you must be some kind of blessed, right? All nations will call you blessed. You'll be blessed in every way. Why? Because two reasons. Number one reason is God is a blesser. He's the living God that giveth. He loves to bless people. That's what He created us for, so He'd have somebody to love, somebody to give to, somebody to bless. That's the one reason He created us for. He didn't need any servants. You don't need servants when you can just speak things into existence. You don't need somebody to go take out the trash for you when you don't even have a trash problem. Everything's perfect. He didn't need servants, but He desired a family. So He created us. I'm glad he did. I used to think, oh, why was I born like Job? Oh, curse the day I was born. But then I found out the truth in God's Word. Let me put it this way. I begin to find out God loved me. He's for me. He's not against me. And I have a hope of glory, and it's in Christ Jesus and by His Word. Glory to God, it's available to me. God's not holding out on me. He's given to me all things richly. All He's given unto me. I'll just say it the way the Bible says it. How shall he not with him, that is with Christ, Romans 8:31 or 32, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I found out that Psalm 84:11 says, the Lord God is my sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I found out that Jesus had walked uprightly. He'd paid the price. And so now I could receive from God. And God wasn't holding back from me one good thing. He is not the one that's the holder backer. He's the one that's the giver. He's the one that's just been giving it and giving and giving him. But Satan, the thief, has been stealing, killing, and destroying. I found out that I had an enemy, but thank God Jesus defeated him. And I had authority over him in the name of Jesus and by the Word of God. And he was scared of me. I didn't have to be afraid of him. He would run from me. He would flee from me if I would resist him. But until I knew that I could, well, I was scared to death of him. Well, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is made unto you wisdom. Now, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Slow down, clock. Turn to two openings, please. It'll help you if you'll do it quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and then the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord, that it's in my Bible. Where is it? There it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the New Testament. Then turn in your Old Testament, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Okay, we're all set then. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Prosperity for Christians? Question mark. In other words, is it God's will for us to prosper? How far can we carry this? How far can we carry it? Well, we found out this, that according to a recent estimate, my man, and I'm sure they don't know the half of the resources and the wealth of this world, but a recent estimate was that the entire wealth of this whole earth was $1 decillion. And that, if that was divided equally among 4 billion people, like there's somewhere around that amount on the earth today, if that was divided equally, we'd all have $1 billion. Billion. As in big. Got it? That means 1 followed by 12 zeros. That's a bunch. All of us would have that much if it's divided up equally. Now that's what God created that we know about for man. Oh, and he made all that just for Adam. Just because he loved him. Just because he loved him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. How far can we take this? We found out it's not evil. It's not wrong. It's not sinful. Now, it would be sinful to hoard it up and just use it for ourselves, but it's not sinful for us to enjoy it and to enjoy using it for others too. In other words, if we all enjoy it, the Bible doesn't say hate yourself and love your neighbor. It says love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, God loves you just as much as He does anybody. He doesn't want you to starve to death. He doesn't want you to do without. He wants you, He desires you to enjoy life, and He desires everybody else to enjoy life, and there's enough for all of us to enjoy it to the full. To the full. We're going to see how far we can carry this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Notice he did not say you will become someday. He said you are. Who is this written to? It's written to born-again believers who hadn't yet become perfect, just like you. I mean perfect in the sense that they weren't walking in the completeness of it all. They had some problems. That's one reason this letter was written to the Corinthians. But he said to them, he said, "You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You are the temple of the living God. Well, when I begin in the Old Testament to think about the temple, you see, until Jesus died on the cross, in the temple there was a holy place, and then inside that there was the Holy of Holies. And there was a thick veil, several inches thick, that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And in the Holy of Holies is where the Shekinah presence, the manifested presence of God, dwelt. And you couldn't go in there except if you were the high priest, and then just under certain prescribed conditions you could go in there once a year. And if you didn't do that, you know what would happen? You'd die. You know why you would die? Well, some people think God just loves to kill people. Hasn't got his kicks yet today, so he's going to kill a few babies. The reason that a human would die if they got in there and they weren't supposed to be in there is because it was just so powerful. It was just so powerful to come into the very presence of the Creator with just life just coming out from Him just like that. It was just more than they could stand, and their body couldn't take it, and so they just shipped out. That's the only reason they died. But thank God, you and I, when we receive eternal life, we're born again, we're made able just to live in that, and it won't kill us, it'll bless us. We just enjoy it, and we can just float around in it and just love it, just a sea of life. Hallelujah! Oh, and it just gets so good, you just think, "Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Hallelujah! Just let me just taste this all the time. Oh, just let me live in this blessed presence of yours all the time. But then he reminds you, well, wait, there's millions out there that are not going to get to enjoy this for eternity. What about them? You have a long time to enjoy living with me. What about getting some more of them to enjoy it? Oh dear, there's only so much time in an hour, isn't there? You are the temple of the living God. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. This is of utmost importance. You must see these scriptures. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 10. Now this is David. He is giving instruction to his son Solomon. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary, and be strong and do it." Now let me stop and finish the story I was on. When Jesus died on the cross, the scripture says the veil of the temple was rent in twain, that means torn in two, from the top to the bottom. You know what that was? That was God breaking out of where He'd been shut up all that time, saying, "Hallelujah, now I can get out there with the people that I love. I can live in them. I can be with them." Do you understand that? It couldn't have been man, because no man could have been strong enough to tear that thick veil in two. It was several inches thick, and it was high too. A man couldn't even reach the top of it, you know. Couldn't even jump that high. And it was torn from the top to the bottom. That was God breaking out into the world and saying, "Here I come, world. Now I can live with you. Now I can be with you. Now I can walk with you. I can talk with you. Now man will know that I love him. Now man will know that he doesn't have to be afraid from me and run from me and hide behind a tree like Adam did." It's important for you to see that now you are the temple of the living God. And it's important for you to... We're going to talk about the temple. How rich was it? How ornate was it? Well, you might think like I did, even though I began studying this and finding this out. I thought, well, wait a minute. That was just Solomon. I mean, you know, just because Solomon did that didn't mean it was God's will. Wait a minute. I found this scripture, and that's what we're reading. It wasn't Solomon's idea how to build the temple. It wasn't David's idea how to build the temple. It was God's idea. Listen to this, verse 11. "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof.